Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. The 41st Midwest Writers Workshop began Thursday and runs through Saturday at Ball State University's Alumni Center. They're all about helping writers become published authors. You can see the schedule at MidwestWriters.org. One of their success stories is Kelsey Timmerman of Muncie, the author of two books, Where Am I Wearing? And Where Am I Eating? You're going to be one of the people presenting in the Midwest Writers Workshop. What are you going to be talking about?
So I'm going to be talking about how to turn real stories into a real career. So we had a lot of writers coming in trying to figure out how and what to write and how to turn that into their day job. So I've managed to do that over the years, and so I'm going to kind of be walking through them with them some steps. Very early on in my career, I went to this writer's workshop where they did a business plan for writers. And that is not my nature. It's not my nature to sit down and think about 1 year, 5 years. I'm more fly by the seat of my pants, not really have a plan kind of guy. But that really helped me have a vision for what I should focus on as for a career, what kind of stories to pursue.
So it was a good idea to have a business plan.
Yeah, it was. So I'm going to be helping writers through various business plan and kind of what they should be writing about. I see a lot of writers at writers conferences who the question is, you know, what they should write. And so I kind of try to think about that. Like, you know, when is it?
Well, the old thing is write what you know.
Right. Yeah, well, it is, but some people, like, it's so much of it's a search for who they are, right? And I don't want to be like a self-help guru or anything, but it's kind of, you know, the stories that I've told that end up reaching the most people and having the biggest impact, what do those things involve? And so I kind of break it down to three things. There's one, you have a certain skill, right? You have a certain skill or in training, and two, you have a certain curiosity about something and a passion for it. And then three, you have some of our greatest challenges that we've overcome. Like, those things often are a great source of strength for us that we can help other people. So where those three things line up and meet, I feel like it's a really powerful place for people to write from where they can make the biggest impact with their stories.
And we should probably stipulate that while some of this could apply in fiction writing, we're really talking about nonfiction here, right?
Yeah, so my session is going to be about nonfiction. Now, the Midwest Writers Workshop, it's in its 41st year. And we have a lot of fiction, almost more fiction writers than nonfiction that come in. But we have the editors from Indianapolis Monthly Magazine coming in this year to talk about nonfiction. We have Elizabeth Berg, who's a New York Times bestselling author, coming in doing an event on Saturday night at Pruis, which will be pretty exciting. And we have a lot of other fiction writers, editors, agents, literary agents. A lot of people come in for the literary agents. The conference is actually where I met my literary agent in 2007.
So there is this business piece of it. You know, if there was a guide to becoming a successful writer, a big part is a writer writes, but that's not all. You have to figure out, as you were saying, you have to figure out what direction or where you're going to concentrate or aim your fire. And then you have to find people to help you, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. And I think people need a reason to write as well. Whether that is I blog every Wednesday or I have an assignment at this local magazine or newspaper, or I pitched an assignment to some national and I have an assignment. You know, I have to have that reason to write, to have an audience to write for. Maybe some people can be more motivated than that. They can just sit and alone write stories that won't get read, but I have to have an audience to reach out to. So I want to help writers kind of think about that too. Like, how can they have that accountability of an assignment or an audience that's waiting to read the next thing that they've written?
You don't ever get writer's block. You don't ever find yourself going, oh no, I just am not in the mood today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely days where, but to some extent,
I don't want to bring that on.
No. To some extent, like, I don't have a choice. So, for instance, my most recent book, Where Am I Eating? I had a year to farm on four continents and travel for 4 months, come back, write the stories. So, when I got all said and done, all the research done, I had like you know, 3 months to write a 90,000 word book. And then at that point, you don't have, you know, writer's block is a luxury that I cannot afford, you know? So I am contractually obligated to turn in a certain set of words. So you just have to do
it. The wolf is at the door.
Yeah. So the closer to that deadline I get, the more productive I get, you know? So it's, I have to have deadlines.
Well, not only where am I eating, but where am I wearing? That was a success.
Yeah. So Where Am I Wearing? It came out in 2000 and like fall of 2008. And it's been a really interesting kind of journey. So I went to different places my clothes were made to meet the people who made them. And I had no idea if it would even be a book. And that's when I met my agent at the conference. And she's like, that sounds like a great idea for a book. And it became a book. And then over time, it really kind of found its niche at universities, where they started to use it as freshman common readers. Ball State actually used it a couple years ago. This past year, University of Kentucky, every single one of their freshmen is supposed to have read the book. Although I was watching the national championship basketball game, saw all those freshmen playing. I'm like, I wonder if they actually read Where Am I Wearing? But yeah, so it really found this kind of niche, and it's a great audience to reach because they're freshmen in college. And it's a really important time in their lives, deciding what they're going to study, what their career could be, what kind of impact they want to make in the rest of the world, how they're connected with the rest of the world. And that's really kind of what I write about. I've written a book about clothes and a book about food, but they're really not about clothes or food whatsoever. They're about this like global connection that we share with people around the world. And then what is our responsibility? That we see that there's this connection that exists. Then what kind of responsibility do we have as consumers, as global and local citizens? If you must write pros and cons, the words you use to be around,
don't plagiarize or take on loan. Kelsey Timmerman, master storyteller of stories about where the clothing and food in our lives comes from. He's also on the committee of the Midwest Writers Workshop, which is in its 41st year. The workshop began Thursday and runs through Saturday. Schedule and more details at MidwestWriters.org.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line and let us know what you think at IndianaWeekend@gmail.com.
I'm Kelsey Timmerman. I am a writer. I'm the author of two books, Where Am I Wearing and Where Am I Eating? I'm also the co-founder of a project called The Facing Project, which is a community storytelling project that connects people through stories to strengthen communities. And I am also on the committee of the Midwest Writers Workshop, which is in its 41st year.
This has turned into a national event. You have writers from all over the country, agents, all kinds of help for people wherever they are as beginners or sort of journeyman writers, right?
Yeah, I mean, we are... It is crazy. So we get faculty from all over the country, best-selling authors and agents and editors, and they rave about coming to our conference to be on the faculty. I mean, every year, like they're like, this is our best conference we've ever been to be faculty. And we work them like dogs. I mean, we work them. They're meeting with writers, you know, but they love it. And I think it's, I don't know, the Midwest hospitality or what. It's just like this friendly vibe that we're kind of all in this together. Some writers' workshops, because writers, like in my writing career, I still probably have a 99.2% rejection rate. You know what I mean? So writing is a lot about being rejected. And sometimes writers' conferences can be just kind of people hanging their head, oh, the agent doesn't want to buy my book, or this editor thinks my story idea is no good. And it can be depressing, and it's just not like that at Midwest Writers. And we get writers coming from, you know, we'll get writers from 15, 20 states coming to Muncie, Indiana. We like to say it becomes the heart of the publishing world for a weekend.
Has what it means to be a writer changed somewhat? You can now be a blogger and reach a global audience potentially, right? And you can use Twitter to send people to the things that you're writing. And you can connect with your friends. You can connect with the world in ways that are very different than just even a few years ago.
I think that the mediums have changed, but to me, storytelling has been the same for thousands of years. So I think just the art of storytelling, the ability to share thoughts and ideas and feelings, I don't think that has changed, even though we may be sharing them in different ways or different lengths. Yeah, I just think there's more ways to kind of disseminate stories now.
So if you want to be a writer, you know, the technology is nice, but you still have to sit down and do the work, right? For some people, it's easier to talk about writing than it is to actually crank out the work.
Yeah, for sure. And that's in my intensive session. So I'm going to have, I think, about 25 students on the Thursday of the workshop, and we're going to be together for like 6 hours. And that's something I really want to focus on is giving them, helping them find their reason to write, because that's the only way we get better as writers is by doing it. It's a craft, you know, it is a craft that you get better by doing. So how do we find those reasons to sit down at our desk in this crazy pursuit where you sit all alone and you stare at your computer screen for hours and hours and hours, day after day after day, and write what's in your brain or something that you've experienced? And to me, like, my reason for writing isn't to have a career, to, you know, sell books. It's to make sense of the world, because I have these experiences and I'm like, what the heck was that? You know, I have no idea. So that, you know, that is why I write, and I want the students who come to Midwest Writers to kind of find their own reason to write, and then find their outlets to be able to share their stories.
People come to these conferences. Have you ever seen someone who made a connection, who somehow turned the corner through this experience?
Oh, all the time. And that's one of the, so I've been on the committee now, this is probably my fifth or sixth year, and we have an awesome director, Jama Bigger, who's just amazing. I think that she's the heart and soul of the conference, and she's why it's so successful. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the really rewarding parts, and why I think we're just all volunteers on the committee. And when you see those writers come back, or you see them post on Facebook, I just got an agent, or hey, my book's being released. I had a buddy who's been coming to the conference now for 5 years, and his book just came out. His name's J.R. Roper. The book is Hunter Awakens, and I love reading it, you know. And I've known about this book. I've kind of followed the journey of this book for the past 5 years. And it's just so awesome to now be sitting and reading it off of my Kindle. And so you have from you know, Joe's book just came out, to Veronica Roth, who wrote the series Divergent, which just became a movie, which is like the next Hunger Games. It's this huge, huge thing. She actually came to the Midwest Writers Workshop, I think in 2008 or 2009. And it's where she first met her agent, who eventually sold Divergent, which is just this phenomenon now. And so, yeah, from all levels. I mean, we've had mega blockbuster books to people that just are, you know, getting published for the first time and really enjoying it.
You've traveled all over the place, finding the sources of the things that we wear, that we eat. On the other hand, there are these people who are writing what could be the next Hunger Games. Very different kinds of endeavors there. What do you think you have in common with those folks?
Well, first off, I'm a little jealous of fiction writers that can sit and just make up stuff all day, because I've nearly died on so many buses around the world. I in Ivory Coast, I was researching where chocolate comes from, and I was threatened to be arrested for freeing a slave, you know. And then I have those experiences, and then I, you know, I sat down today and made up a story. Like, what? Like, that sounds really nice, you know. Like, you know, you didn't get arrested and no threat of dying. Okay, that sounds great. But yeah, I just think that we all kind of find, you know, we have a passion for sitting down and communicating a story and wanting to connect with readers.
Kelsey Timmerman, on the committee of the Midwest Writers Workshop, which is in its 41st year. The workshop began Thursday at Ball State University's Alumni Center and runs through Saturday. Details at MidwestWriters.org. The remarkable Jama Bigger has been director there. Great job. For his part, Kelsey has written 2 books on the source of our food and clothing. Check out his site at WhereAmIWearing.com. He's traveled the world for this cause. Some of Kelsey's adventures coming up next.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
The Midwest Writers Workshop this weekend in Muncie. Great opportunity to meet writers, talk about writing. One of the presenters is Muncie's Kelsey Timmerman, who has traveled the world for his books on the third world origins of the things in our daily lives. You might wonder, as we did, how somebody gets started doing that.
I graduated with a degree in anthropology from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. And that really kind of inspired a curiosity in me about the rest of the world. You know, I learned about all these other people and places throughout time and present time. And I really wanted to go and meet people. And that came from other places. I come from outside Union City, Indiana. Actually, I was on the Ohio side. It's split in two. And
right down Main Street, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's split in two mayors, two fire departments.
And when Indiana didn't observe daylight savings time, the reporters would troop by every year for the stories.
Yeah, we'd have soccer time. It would be either fast time or slow time. And I still to this day don't know what those mean. You know, we would just be late for church when the time changed. I knew that, you know, which was always great. We still got to eat the donuts after, right? So made it time for donuts, but missed church. So, but it, you know, there wasn't much diversity in the people or the landscape in some of our smaller communities in rural Indiana. And so when I got to college and started to see the diversity, and Miami University isn't the world's most diverse place in the world, but we know we studied about all these other people and places, I really, really wanted to travel. So I think this love for travel kind of, I acted on it. So I saved up some money. Grandma gives all the grandkids $5,000 when they graduate. So I just added on to grandma's money. And I went travel for 6 months, went to Australia, Thailand, Nepal, started to have these experiences that were, I got held hostage by like Nepalese monks, you know.
And wait a minute, the monks held you hostage?
Yeah, I sat next to this guy on a plane.
You must be ill-behaved if you can anger the monks.
Bad karma, I guess.
What happened there?
So yeah, sitting on the plane, going from Bangkok to Kathmandu, Nepal. I never have a plan, you know, I'm going to Nepal. And I'm sitting next to this monk, this is a Tibetan monk, and we're getting close to landing, and he's like, well, where are you staying? And I'm like, I have no idea. I have no plans. Like, how do you even get away from the airport? And he's like, you come stay with me. So I went and stayed with him, and he ended up being this head of a lamasery, which is a school where they teach like little kids to become monks out in the countryside. And I stayed there for like 2.5 weeks. It was an awesome experience. But like I say, I was held hostage because I would say, I'm going to go hiking now. And they would say, let us consult our scrolls. And they would look, today is not a good day to begin the journey, you know. So I would have these experiences like this that were just like amazing, you know. And this is what kind of experiences you have when you walk out your front door and are confronted by a world that is much different than rural Indiana, you know. And I wanted to share those experiences with people in my hometown, with people, you know, all over. So that really kind of gave way to writing. And that's why so the love for travel kind of gave way to a love to write. And now to be that conduit between people I meet in my travels and people who read when I write is just awesome.
You go and see interesting things, and this is a way to document it or a way to translate that experience for other people. And it turned into your first book, Where Am I Wearing? What this is about the origins of the things that we wear. How did you come up with this?
Yeah, so I was, as a traveler, I knew I could go anywhere, and I started to write. I knew I could go anywhere and get stories that I thought would be interesting. I mean, I just drop me anywhere in the world, and I know I could have an experience that would be worth writing and sharing. So I was looking for that kind of that next random place to go, and I wasn't sure where I want to go. And I had this T-shirt that said, "Come with me, my tropical paradise," and it had tattoo from Fantasy Island on it. I thought, well, what if I just went wherever this T-shirt was made, wherever this tropical paradise is? So I thought, I'm going to check the tag, and that's where I'm going to go. And then I went. I went to Honduras, and I went jungle hiking, island exploring, scuba diving, had all these adventures I was looking to have. Then I thought, at least I should do is go to the factory where the T-shirt was made to meet the workers. And then once I met a fellow by the name of Emil Carr. I was 25, lives with his parents, and likes to play soccer. It became real. It became real that every day I rely on people all over the world to supply us, to supply me, to supply us, with these things that we kind of take for granted in our lives, and we have really no idea what their lives are like and how we are all connected.
Somebody did a story recently. Did you see this about the what happens to the clothes that we wear when we're finished with them? They get bundled up and shipped overseas and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that in other countries. These big bazaars where, you know, they get these big bales, they buy them. There's a great book called Travels of a T-Shirt that there's a whole section that documents that reselling of these, you know, American goods. And there's a great article a long time ago. It's like, why does Africa love the Buffalo Bills? For the longest time in the Super Bowl losers' shirts could not be sold in the United States. They had to be destroyed or gotten rid of. So the Super Bowl runner-up, all the shirts would get sent to Africa. And I believe they were given to World Vision and then like donated. And now that's since been kind of, put a stop to it because, you know, showing up in a village and just dumping free products, if you're all these free t-shirts show up and it's just raining t-shirts and you're the guy in town that's selling t-shirts, you know, like, that's bad for business. So they started to see that just dumping products was not always the best case.
Now your new book is Where Am I Eating? What was your big takeaway from that?
You know, I became obsessed with labels and where am I wearing, and it kind of carried over to food. And I started to see like mushrooms from product of China. I'm like, this seems weird. Apple juice that we were giving our kids, product of China. And today, the amount of food that we import in our country has doubled over the last 10 years to the point where 86% of seafood, half of fruit, and about 20% of vegetables come from somewhere else. And these numbers are growing. So I really wanted to trace those lines back to the people who are producing our food and kind of learn what their lives are like. So I followed my Starbucks coffee back to Colombia with not much help from Starbucks and hung out with the farmers there, my chocolate bar back to Ivory Coast.
Starbucks wasn't cooperative. They weren't too interested in helping you.
Not exactly. I was like, hey, I want to go meet your farmers. And they're like, that's proprietary information. So I just kind of showed up, and that's kind of the method to my madness. I just kind of show up places where people don't normally go.
You ever add up how many countries you've been to?
I'd say it's probably more than 70. I don't know.
What's your perception about how Americans are regarded?
Yeah, I think people do a good job around the world of separating politics from people. So, you know, a lot of people want to talk politics with Americans. I mean, you could go show up in a village in Bangladesh, and the remote village and the village chief will have an opinion on the president of the United States or our foreign policy and maybe some experience, because we kind of are we're everywhere. So people have opinions. But I've never really felt any ill will towards me. There's really no magic to what I do. I mean, that's it. I just show up and I just start hanging out with people, getting to know them, listening to their stories. A lot of them are like, why do you want to tell my story? I'm just a factory worker, or I'm just a farmer. And, you know, it's fascinating to me.
Kelsey Timmerman of Muncie, the author of two books, Where Am I Wearing and Where Am I Eating? He's also the co-founder of The Facing Project, a community storytelling project that connects people through stories to strengthen communities. He's one of the presenters at the 41st Midwest Writers Workshop, which began Thursday and runs through Saturday at Ball State University's Alumni Center. And that, friends, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from FlexSteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.